It's got a death curse.
Don't all of you be like me.
And then who will lock you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
USAC intercepted a radio transmission from a decaying orbit around Neptune. The source of this transmission has been identified as the Event Horizon.
It's an A-movie cast, or like, you know, A-minus, B-plus, but with like a C-minus script.
You said the ship's drive creates a gateway. Where did it go? Where did you send it?
I don't know.
Where has it been for the last 7 years?
It was fun. I wouldn't think it was like the best sci-fi horror movie I've ever seen, but it was fun.
I'm saying that the ship is reacting to us and the reactions are getting stronger.
As if the ship brought back something with it, a life force of some kind.
There are flaws. It's not a perfect film. It's a fantastic movie.
Oh, yeah.
And it is a perfect marriage of horror and sci-fi.
It is.
That's perfect marriage. And it's got Sean Pertwee.
Break all the laws of physics and you seriously think there would be a price?
You already killed the last fucking group. I know you want to kill us as well.
Who designs a ship to look that way?
An entire ship is a fleshlight for a Cenobite.
Our orders are specific.
Rescue the crew, salvage what's left of the ship. The crew is dead, Doctor. Your ship killed them.
You know, I look at this movie and I think it's like, for me, it's like Army of Darkness. It's like, okay, is it perfect? No. Is there a lot of flaws? Yes. Is it entertaining as fuck?
Yes.
Absolutely.
What are you telling me, that this ship is alive?
You wanted an answer, and it's the only one I've got.
No, what I want, Lieutenant, is to survive the next 10 hours.
Greetings, listeners. This is Cash Wampum bringing you another Horror 101 podcast. I hope you have an affinity for space horror, because that's where we're going on this 137th show. A top-notch cast teamed with a fairly new director and gave us this cautionary tale of science runs amok. This movie was a commercial flop. Test audiences hated it. Post-production was given an insanely short time schedule to satisfy. Dozens of minutes were cut from the original print, and the negative was stored in a salt mine and subsequently rotted to nothing. So any chance of getting a director's cut of this film is right out the window. We hope you enjoy our Horror 101 treatment of Paul W.S. Anderson's Event Horizon. And a big shout out to our patrons who keep the show alive with their support. When I was thinking about which movie, I was going through the list of the flicks that we've done.
Yeah.
And I'm going through Podomatic, and on the thumbnail of each show, which is usually like the poster,
yeah,
right? There's, on the bottom right-hand corner, is the duration, like the time.
Yeah.
So I'm going through, and some of them are like 2 minutes, 4 seconds, 5 minutes, 39 seconds, and you know, I click on it, sure enough, like it plays for that amount of time, and then it's just gone. I'm like, what the fuck? And there was about 8 or 9 of them out of like the last 136, which were all of a sudden like a couple of minutes or 15 minutes or something like that. So I had to like re-upload the MP3. Thank God I'm good at archiving. Because I had to re-up, like Sutter Kane was... In the Mouth of Madness was like episode 16 or 15. That's how far back it went, right?
Isn't that long ago?
Yeah.
I was here for that one.
Because that was the John Carpenter trilogy.
Yeah.
That was the apocalyptic trilogy. We did The Thing, Prince of Darkness, and In the Mouth of Madness.
Well, then get your shit together. Get it all together and put it in a backpack. All your shit. So it's together. Get your shit together.
So, anybody figured out what we're doing today? Shit.
I know.
Apparently I missed a quote.
A quote?
I don't know. He said something about space and a Star Trek quote or something.
Well, that was on the chat. He was like, I want any hint what we're doing. I'm like, yeah, space, the final frontier.
And that's why I thought it was...
Life Force.
Life Force, because it's Patrick Stewart,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I also said, no Star Trek people in this.
But I thought you were just kind of throwing me off the scent.
No.
Is it Event Horizon?
I wouldn't lie to you unless there was a very good reason.
Is it Event Horizon?
It is Event Horizon.
Yeah.
It is Event Horizon.
I am going to shit on this movie so
No, man! There's so much to like about this film, and there's stuff where you can like,
about this,
this is ridiculous.
You don't remember, this was one of Blake Hellhart's picks for the 20th.
Yes. Yes, it was mentioned in episode 20. It was one of his top five. That's correct.
I love this film.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Red Letter Media review of this?
I have not.
It's all you need to.
It's great. Yeah,
but they tear it apart where it deserves to be teared apart.
Well, and there are flaws. It's not a perfect film. It's a fantastic movie.
So, oh yeah.
And it is a perfect marriage of horror and sci-fi.
It is a perfect marriage.
And it's got Sean Pertwee.
It is gruesome.
Yes.
It
is gruesome.
If there's not that it's a flaw, but if there's one, there is a dependency on Hellraiser-esque qualities to it.
The fucking reactor core?
It's right on the nose. The Hellraiser shit in it is like right on the nose.
Yes.
We want the man who did this.
But Newt, you've seen Event Horizon.
I saw it when you and I first started dating.
So it's been a long time.
You recommended it to me.
Right? Yeah, it was one of the five, right? When we were at Reruns Video, I'm like, watch this. It was Event Horizon and Exorcist 3. What else? Do you remember?
There's a couple more. I can't remember.
Let's get on to Event Horizon. You hate this. Okay, I remember you saying you had a love-hate relationship with this film. How can you hate this film? It is a perfect marriage of horror and sci-fi. You are the sci-fi guy in this room.
I wouldn't call it a perfect marriage.
Explain why you don't like this film. When was the last time you seen it?
Oh, probably about 20 years ago.
So it's been that long. Okay, well, tell
me. Paul W.S. Anderson has really only made one movie that I've liked.
Oh, which one?
This is not it.
Mortal Kombat?
No.
The first one's good.
No.
Resident Evil?
No.
That was a good film. First film was excellent.
Eh. I would have preferred to see the Romero version that never got made, but whatever.
Which one?
Soldier.
Oh, with Kurt Russell. Yeah, that was like 94.
That one I liked.
I liked
Yeah. Like, that had a decent cast. Like, it was, the premise of it. Like, it was solid. It was... But
simple story, well
yeah,
told.
Yeah, this.
Lawrence Fishburne, Sam Neill, and Sean Pertwee. Those three people right
it
there.
What's there? Kathleen Quinlan.
Yeah, no, there's a bunch of people cast. In there. Yeah. Like, this is one of those things of it's a movie absolutely punching above. I remember it just being, it's punching above its weight class. The script, not good. The acting, considering that cast, should have been fucking better. And I'll watch it again, and I'll see if, 20 something year old me is, if high school me's criticisms, because this is what, like 97?
Something like that, 97, 98.
Yeah, because this was like the tail end of high school, beginning of like college, university. So we'll see if much younger me's criticisms stand.
You walked in with a low bar, maybe you'll be surprised. We all walked in thinking Arachnophobia last month was going to be all fives and sixes.
Yeah, you missed that, man. It's like, bullshit Arachnophobia. Let's get on with that.
Bullshit.
It's in the fucking cutting room floor.
I did not say bullshit Arachnophobia.
You said,
words were, of the two movies made that year, I prefer Matinee. Okay, let's go back to bullshit Arachnophobia.
You're not going to enjoy this at all. He's such a curmudgeon.
No,
he has gotten so grumpy.
You're grumpy. Such a curmudgeon.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Helen hasn't seen this for 20 years, right? Helen hasn't seen this for 20 years. When's the last time you've seen it?
I would say probably five, six, 7 years ago.
And Nick hasn't seen it since high school.
I haven't seen it since it came out.
Okay, so and Brian Stewart.
That's his Jumbo Video, so...
Long time ago.
Yeah, late 90s.
This is a good time. This is going to be a good time, and I hope everybody comes out of this really loving it. Nude, can you flip the switch?
I'm going to go tinkle, so I'll get the
mic. You go tinkle, and...
You can start it.
We'll watch this.
At 0300 this morning, TDRS picked up an automated navigation beacon broadcasting at 2-minute intervals in Neptune orbit.
This is incredible. It's the Event Horizon. She's come back.
The Event Horizon is the culmination of a secret government project to create a spacecraft capable of faster-than-light flight. The ship doesn't really go faster than light. What it does is it creates a dimensional gateway that allows it to jump instantaneously from one point of the universe to another light years away.
Where has she been for the last 7 years, Doctor?
That's what we're here to find out.
After 7 years in deep space.
There were 18 people on board this ship when it disappeared. I want them all accounted for.
Opening outer door.
It came back, abandoned.
Any crew?
Negative. This place is a tomb.
But it didn't come back alone.
Captain Miller! I've got some problems here!
This ship has been beyond the boundaries of our universe. Who knows where it's been? And what it's brought back with it.
Did you hear that? What is it?
This ship is reacting to us and the reactions are getting stronger.
What are you telling me? That this ship is alive?
Oh. I have such wonderful things to show you.
Oh my God!
It knows my secrets. It knows my fears.
Vacate, I want off this ship.
You can't leave. She won't let you.
Now, Lewis and Clark, that they're like explorers.
They're explorers.
What did they explore?
They mapped America.
Is that what they mapped America? That was them?
Yeah, they're trying to find, was it Northwest Passage? Or basically,
It was essentially the Mississippi.
Finally, the route to the west, basically.
And so the crew was supposed to be on leave, but they got a call. They had to go, all of a sudden they got to go up to Neptune. And even in, Weir's on there as like an interloper. He's a guest on the ship.
And they're automatically all pissed off.
And they're like, well, yeah, we got to go in 10 minutes. Like, okay, grab... what do they call it? The ion drive is going to be going in 10 minutes, so you got to get in your couch real quick. I think your captain's got a problem with me. It's like, well, yeah, you're a stranger. What do you expect?
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. In approximately 2 hours and 23 minutes, we'll be arriving in the orbit of Neptune. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
Ooh!
Neptune. Good.
Thank you.
Neptune.
All boards are green. Everything's 5x5.
You, sir, been notified of our position?
Yes, sir.
All right, people, listen up.
DJ.
As you all know, we have an addition to our crew. Dr. Weir, you care to join us? Introductions all around. This is my XO, Lieutenant Stark. Mr. Justin, engineering. The funky spaceman over here is Mr. Cooper. What exactly is it you do on board this ship, Coop?
Listen up, Doc. I'm your best friend, okay? I'm the lifesaver and the heartbreaker.
He's a rescue technician. This is Peters, medical technician, and my pilot, Mr. Smith. The gloomy Gus in the corner over there, that's,
DJ. Trauma. All right. Now we all know each other. Skipper, I got a question.
Sure.
What the fuck are we doing way out of here?
Well, perhaps the good doctor will be kind enough to tell us.
Why do they only get briefed about what they're doing once they get there? That seemed odd to me,
too.
Wouldn't you want to prep things for the said mission?
Well,
I wish I'd known this what we were doing. I had all the
Even aliens did that, too. Now that we're here, this is what you walk in.
Paul Reiser.
Yeah.
Well, just like, it was code black by the NSA, right? Yeah. It's like, what I'm about to tell you, like, nobody knows about this shit.
USAC intercepted a radio transmission from a decaying orbit around Neptune. The source of this transmission has been identified as the Event Horizon.
Yeah. Well, that's bullshit. Stop.
Skipper, you took me off leave for the position. Thank you so much.
Mr.
Cooper, as you were. Let the man speak.
The crew gets pissed off immediately, like, bullshit, that didn't happen.
Yeah, well, as soon as he's like, yeah, we figured out that the signal came from the Event Horizon, they're like, yeah,
that's a bunch of shit.
Yeah, sit the fuck down and listen to what the guys got to say. That's bullshit.
Well, because it's 7 years. Like, waste my fucking time with that shit.
What was made public about the Event Horizon, that she was a deep space research vessel, that her reactor went critical, and that the ship blew up. None of that is true. The Event Horizon is the culmination of a secret government project to create a spacecraft capable of faster-than-light flight.
Excuse me. You see, you can't actually do that.
The law of relativity prohibits faster-than-light travel.
Relativity, yes, we can't break the law of relativity. We can go around it. The ship doesn't really go faster than light. What it does is it creates a dimensional gateway that allows it to jump instantaneously from one point of the universe to another light years away.
How?
Well, it's difficult to... It's all math.
Try it, stuff.
There's pieces of the film that kind of, like, don't make a lot of sense.
We know.
There's a lot of questions to be asked after this, but I kind of enjoy that, too, you know, because, you know, 25 like years later, we're still goofy. Asking questions.
It's goofy. It's not bad. It's just fucking...
The rules are bent, you know? It's a faster-than-light drive. It's like, okay, well, how does it work? Well, it's complicated, but, you know, basically, they just take concepts of that we've been juggling around for the last couple of decades.
Folding the galaxy.
Exactly. You know,
let's put it this way.
Bend space-time.
Yeah.
And now what's the shortest distance between two points?
A straight line.
Wrong. The shortest distance between two points is zero, and that's what the gateway does. It folds space so that point A and point B coexist in the same space and time. When the spacecraft passes through the gateway, space returns to normal. It's called a gravity drive.
How do you know all this?
I built it.
Well, I can see why they sent you.
So if the ship didn't blow up, then what happened?
Well, the mission was going perfectly, like a textbook. They reached safe distance using conventional thrusters, all systems looked good. They had the go-ahead to use the gravity drive to open the gateway to Proxima Centauri. And then they just disappeared, vanished without a trace, until now.
Where's she been for the last 7 years, Doctor?
That's what we're here to find out.
The premise is interesting. They've got this, top secret ship that went missing 7 years ago, and now all of a sudden it just reappears, like, a long way away. And they gotta send a rescue team to go figure out what the fuck happened to the ship and if anybody's on board. That's an interesting premise. I like that part right there.
Crossing the horizon. Optimum approach angle is 14 degrees.
Come around to 334.
Heading 334, sir.
Make your approach vector negative 14 degrees.
14 degrees. We have a lock on. Event Horizon's navigation beacon. She's in the upper ionosphere, and it looks like we're in very heavy chops, sir.
They're going through that storm, which, by the way, I mean, I get because they're saying they're so close to a planet, but why the fuck is there atmosphere?
Why the hell can you hear thunder and lightning outside?
Exactly. Why is there atmosphere? You're in space. But
Okay, come on. That's like saying, okay, let's watch Star Wars, but fucking mute all the space battles. Is that what you want?
No, but
that's
what you want. There's a world of there's
fuck both
pew,
of you.
Pew, pew, and
fuck
fucking
both
thunderstorms.
Of you.
And then they can't see through the clouds. Again, why are there clouds in space? But whatever. They can't see through the clouds, and they come within, like, 70 feet of hitting the fucking Event Horizon.
You do realize that Neptune is a gas giant.
But it's clear afterwards.
And, you know...
after that, like, immediately, just like, oh, okay.
Them approaching the ship, I love that whole sequence where, like, okay, it's like 5,000 meters, and everybody's like, I can't see it. There's all this fucking cloud and shit like that.
Which, in space...
Proximity warning!
Which, in space... Stupidest way to approach something.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. Well, they mentioned they were like, matching its speed or something
literally,
like that.
All the physics in this movie are wrong.
Flying through clouds in space.
I know.
Why is there an atmosphere?
And that's the thing, is by the time you were actually by the time you were skimming the clouds on Neptune, gravity alone would be your biggest fucking problem.
He'd have been sucked into that
thing. Yeah.
Light him if you got him.
Thank you very much, sir.
Stark, give me a read.
The reactor's still hot. We've got several small radiation sources, but they're leaks probably. It's nothing serious.
Did I have pressure?
Affirmative. The hull's intact, but there's no gravity and the thermal units are offline. I'm showing deep cold. The crew couldn't survive unless they're in stasis.
Find them, Stark.
Yeah, I'm already on it. Captain Bioscan is on the line. There's something wrong with the scan.
Is radiation interference?
There's not enough to throw it off. I'm picking up trace life forms, but I can't get a lock on a location. These readings are all over the ship. It doesn't make any sense.
Okay, we do it the hard way, deck by deck, room by room. Stark, deploy the umbilicus. Smitty, fire up the boards in the war room.
Sir?
Mr. Justin, I believe you're up for a walk.
Yes, sir.
Doctor, I'm going to need you here on the bridge.
Captain, I didn't come out all this way just to sit on your bridge. I need to be on that ship.
Once we've secured the ship, we'll bring you on board.
No, I'm sorry, that's unacceptable. I need to be on that ship.
Once we've secured the ship, that's the way it is. I need you to guide us from the comm station. This is where I need you. Help us do our job.
You can see those mid-90s special effects.
Ooh. Oh, when you got the ship floating around in zero Gs.
Yeah. And the blood pellets.
Yeah.
The blood from the eyes.
Yeah.
Not quite Alien 3 bad, but
no, it's pretty fucking bad.
Pretty bad.
What the hell is this place, Dr. Weir?
It allows you to enter the second containment without compromising the magnetic fields.
Looks like a meat grinder to me.
Who designs a ship to look that way?
You know who designed this? Do you ever see that one Monty Python sketch that's like trying to design the thing and you go up the thing through the rotating blade? It's like a spaceship designed by a guy who'd only made abattoirs.
What the hell happened to his eyes?
Explosive decompression.
Decompression doesn't do that. Looks like it was caused by it. I don't know, an animal or something. Look at the damage to the soft tissue. Massive abrasions.
Corpsicle.
Yeah.
I do like them boarding the ship and everything's an icicle.
Yeah.
You know, no atmosphere, no gravity. They need gravity boots to get around. And you could, they get on the bridge and you see, like, there's a whole bunch of gore in, the light fixtures.
Yeah, the entire crew's been, mooshed into the thing.
Yeah, like, what the fuck happened? And then there's, like, that one corpse floating around that's all eviscerated.
Yeah.
Their eyes have popped out. Yeah. It's like...
Justin, you're breaking up. Justin, come in.
Yeah.
But when Sam Neill is explaining the core drive, and he says when those three rings align, it creates a black hole.
Mm-hmm.
So every time those three rings align, it creates a black hole?
No, when it's engaged, they all align and stick there. Like was it Justin?
Yeah.
When Justin went in there, it was still spinning, and then it aligned. And it stuck there. And then the actual core turned into that black
gooey thing. Okay.
And Buddy's got to stick his fucking hand in.
Yeah, what the fuck was that?
You know, poor decisions, Buddy. Some sort of goop, eh? And then he sticks his whole fucking hand in there. Let's just jump in, asshole.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Something's got you from the other side.
Like the whole version of you in. You know, I stared in the abyss and the abyss stared back.
Exactly. So he went in for a moment and it showed him things.
Well, all I know is that, you know, Pinhead's butt plug decided to do a gooey thing and he touched it.
Oh, shit! He's in trouble!
Goku!
I'm gone! He goes in and the gravity drive emits that like EMP or something
and it fucks everything.
It fucks everything up. Like, and the Lewis and Clark loses pressure and now they're stuck there. And I was like, well, shit, this sucks. This place is a tomb. Everybody's dead, so obviously we gotta leave. Oh wait, we can, because our ship's got this 7-meter fissure
and we gotta get all the scrubbers off.
Captain Miller, you copy? Over.
Smitty, where you been all my life?
We have a major situation here.
We've got the salvage vessel and the hull's been breached.
I want all personnel on board the Event Horizon pronto. We'll meet at the air tanks.
I'm ahead of you, sir, bringing all thermal units online. Hold tight, prep for G's, gravity in 5 seconds.
So he comes out all fucking
catatonic.
The things that he saw while he was in that universe was so bad he went catatonic.
So if Mr. Justin was sucked through your gateway, he could have gone wherever the Event Horizon's been.
Theoretically, yes, but as I told you before, a gateway can't just open by itself.
I see. Lieutenant, I want this room sealed off. Second containment from here on in is off limits.
Yes, sir.
Captain, there's no danger. The gateway's contained behind three magnetic fields. It's perfectly safe.
Safe? Doctor, my ship is in pieces and one of my crewmen may not make it home alive. No one else goes near this thing.
Did anybody mention the fact that, you know, 300 feet
all
of cable?
All the fucking cable got used.
Like, where did he go?
Oh, it pulled the fucking...
It almost yanked
the
thing off the wall. Like,
I like Cooper going after him. I'm coming for you. Yep. I'm coming for you.
No, that part, like you said, until he got sucked into the thing... Like, to me, the movie was basically just like, after that part.
Captain Miller.
Captain Miller, do you copy? Over.
I copy, Mr. Smith. How's my ship?
Sir, we've got a 7-meter fracture on the outer hull. We should be able to repair her, but it's going to take an awful lot of time, sir.
Negative. 20 hours, we run out of air.
Understood, sir.
After that, when they figure out that the Lewis and Clark is compromised, they can't leave. So they're stuck there. They've got 20 hours of breathable air. So
but it doesn't
the,
really
the clock is ticking immediately.
Peter's first scare in the med lab. I thought that was probably the first time when the supernatural element really started to ramp up. And that sequence where she hears somebody in the lab, that's classic horror stuff. Like something skittering around the room, she's looking and she sees something zip up in that tent. And then she pulls it back. The look when she sees her son and then the scarred legs.
Jesus.
I thought those legs sold all of her trauma. Mm-hmm. That was probably the one makeup effect in this movie that I thought really worked well. Because it was important to her. We got to see it. No one else gets to see it. So we now have this shared understanding of what she's going through.
You just like it because it's child endangerment.
Well, that child is nowhere on that ship.
Or perceived child endangerment. Yeah. That's why you like it.
But it does establish a lot. She's the only tortured person on the ship where the torture was thought out, planned, executed well, had set up and payoff, and had any relevance to story. Yeah. Everyone else was just random shit happening to them.
We have an emergency.
What's going on in there, Stark?
Justin's in the airlock.
Say again.
Justin is in the airlock and he is not wearing a suit.
Did we talk about Justin putting himself in the airlock?
Yes,
we
did.
Yep.
Justin, open the door.
Did you hear it?
Keep him talking. Yes. Yes, I heard it. Do you know what it is?
It shows you things. Horrible things.
What does?
The dark inside me. From the other place. I won't go back there. I won't.
No, baby bear. Come on, open the door.
What's
happening? I don't think she can talk him down.
He's better. He opens the airlock. He's going to turn inside out.
No.
But right at the end, he's out of it. Yeah, like, what the fuck? Like, the ship just, let him go.
This would be way better if, it's just,
It's like, this would be better if he was, like, lucid.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I mean, it proves that whatever's controlling the ship, whatever the evil is not just an asshole, it's vindictive. It's like, it's not bad enough I'm gonna fucking implode you. No, now you gotta be aware of it.
Oh my god. It's starting. My eyes.
Don't think about him. Shut him. Just shut him as tight as you can.
5 seconds.
Tuck yourself into a crouched position. Make yourself into a ball now.
I can't breathe. Oh, oh god.
God! Oh, God! God, it hurts!
I want you to huff.
Oh, God!
And puff and blow all the air out of your lungs. You hear me? All the air out of your lungs, Justin!
Open the door. Open the door.
But Lawrence Fishburne, yeah. he's got to get to the outer airlock door to put him back in, right?
Yeah.
Get all the air out of your lungs.
Close your
for
eyes.
For what reason?
Because that'll expand in your chest. You'll
I know, but come on. Like, the dude is sitting there looking at his arms. You can start seeing the fucking skin retracting, all his veins popping out. Like,
it's starting.
Okay. Give me some more listening now.
He's bleeding out. Start the drip. Dropping.
15 seconds. But slow. I like how there's a progression of, okay, we're in a situation where, you know, we gotta fix our ship and get out. You know, everybody's dead. There's nothing to salvage here. Let's just fix our ship and get the fuck out. Everybody's on the same page. And then slowly but surely, the ship starts giving them, you know, letting them know that there's something wrong. There's something else there with them. You know, they all experience it in different ways, but, you know, within a couple of hours, they all realize that this ship is fucked and we need to get the hell out of there. You know what I mean?
Miller.
What is it, Stark?
I ran the bioscan with the DNA RNA filters. The results were bio readings.
Of an indeterminate origin, yes, I know.
Don't you have anything useful to tell me, Lieutenant?
I've got a theory.
Let's hear it.
I think that there's a connection between the readings and the hallucinations, like they're all part of a defensive reaction, some sort of immune system.
I don't have time to listen to this.
You have to listen to me.
To what?
I'm saying that the ship is reacting to us and the reactions are getting stronger.
As if the ship brought back something with it, a life force of some kind.
What are you telling me, that this ship is alive?
You wanted an answer, and it's the only one I've got.
No, what I want, Lieutenant, is to survive the next 10 hours.
I like how when she's doing the reading on the ship, There's life forms all around the ship, and it's obviously the gore that you see is in pockets throughout the ship.
Yeah. No, it's because the entire ship is alive now.
Yes. Haven't established
that's
that
how she,
yet.
But that's how she's established the theory later.
Yes.
Is that it's like, oh, we're getting...
The ship's reacting to us.
Just the immediate jump to, the ship is alive and it doesn't like our faces. It wants to
so we're going to rip faces. All the eyes out.
It's all of the faces whale. Must go.
I'd like some answers, Doctor. I'd like to know why one of my men tried to commit suicide by throwing himself out of an airlock. I'd like to know what caused that noise.
Thermal changes in the hull could have caused the metal to expand and contract rapidly, causing reverberations. This is possible.
Bullshit! You built this fucking ship. You've given me nothing but bullshit.
What do you want me to say?
You said the ship's drive creates a gateway.
Yeah.
To what? Where did it go? Where did you send it?
I don't know.
Where has it been for the last 7 years?
Look, I don't know.
I don't know is not good enough, Doctor. You're supposed to be the fucking expert. I need answers. That's your job. Now the other place, where is that?
I don't know. I don't know. Look, there's a lot of things happening around here that I don't fully understand. I need time.
I see. Well, that's exactly what we don't have, Doctor.
Obviously, he doesn't have answers, because he doesn't know where the ship's gone. He doesn't know exactly what's happening. He's like, he needs time. He's like, well, we don't have time. He's like, I don't know what's happening here. You're the expert. It's like, I understand that, but I don't have answers to your fucking questions. I can't tell you what's going on here.
Look, if what Dr. Weir tells us is true, this ship has been beyond the boundaries of our universe, of known scientific reality. Who knows where it's been? What it's seen? And what it's brought back with it? From hell.
But they were supposed to go to Proxima Centauri. What, did they miss the mark or something? Did somebody put a zero in the wrong spot? Maybe the decimal moved a bit? And they, you know, no, we're not going 4 light years away. We're going like 5 quintillion light years away into another fucking universe.
Yeah, someone forgot to carry a fucking one. Must have been the Americans using Imperial. Who's using Imperial? Who using metric? Why? Because we wound up in fucking hell, dude.
Miller?
We're leaving.
Event Horizon. What was your favorite scene?
When you see the videotape of what was happening.
Yeah, you could tell, like, those effects were pretty graphic. And you, like,
a lot of fucking snippets. And a lot of fucking killing and a lot of fucking.
Well, there's like somebody's, like, sticking their fist in somebody's mouth and grabbing organs and ripping it out. But you only get little snippets of what's happening. Yeah, you only get,
like, just a quick little, you're like, what the? Did I?
Yeah.
Some of those look like Fulci effects. Because Fulci did a lot of gore out of the mouth.
Now we can't leave. Our orders are specific.
Rescue the crew, salvage what's left of the ship. The crew is dead, Doctor. Your ship killed them.
We came here to do a job.
We're aborting, Doctor! Stark, download the files from the Event Horizon's computers. DJ, I want you to get Justin prepped and ready to move him back to the Clark.
Stuff I want to get from medical. Gotta move him in the tank.
No problem, do it. Peters, I want you to get the CO2 scrubbers back into the Clark. Take Smitty with you. Done.
Oh, but you know, I look at this movie and I think it's like, for me, it's like Army of Darkness. It's like, okay, is it perfect? No. Is there a lot of flaws? Yes. Is it entertaining as fuck? Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's always something going on. There's always
Army
something
of Darkness
going on.
Knows what in the fuck it is. This movie does not know what in the fuck it is.
This movie knows what it is. Absolutely, it knows what it is.
Is this movie takes itself way too fucking seriously?
That's a big problem. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Peters, can we go? This place is really freaking me out.
Yeah, you want to breathe on the way home.
Why don't? Let's go!
Shit! 25!
Come on!
We need 25!
Peters!
Come on! Got it!
What's your favorite
when you
scene?
Get there, yeah.
When Peters was the technician, the IT tech, was saw she was about to leave, got all the records and stuff like that, saw her son, and kind of just, you know, forgot where she was and then went to chase him. Falling down,
bing, 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 bing,
that
bing,
was,
bing,
and bouncing off the walls, and that was my favorite scene.
Like a pinball on the way down, and stuck that landing well.
Oh, yeah.
Like cleaning just like a back flop on
it
a steel grate.
Didn't die right away.
No,
because she was breathing when she hit
the broke
ground.
Her back when she hit the ground.
Oh yeah. Like when she hit the ground, it was just like a geyser of blood.
But she was still
like
breathing.
That sucked all the way down.
Yeah.
It was just like she forgot exactly what she was going to do. Because she's a mom and she's so hyper focused on her son, and being, because she Clerks, right? I'm not supposed to be here, because she tried to get switched up and whatever, but no, there's no one there to replace her.
And they already established earlier that her son is paralyzed, and then she sees him walking.
Yeah. So then she's.
But by this time, she knows that there's something wrong with the ship. The ship's fucked with her before. She saw her son on the operating table with the fucking shit all over.
Oh my god, my son walked all the way to Neptune. I'm so proud.
And then he just disappeared. So she knew that the ship was fucking with them. So in their hysteria to try and get the fuck out of there, she's just going to stop and say, oh, there's my boy.
I mean,
I must go and investigate.
But it's also manipulating minds too, so it's giving. It's not.
Well, I mean, you saw the gravity drive in her eyes.
Yeah, she's not.
Yeah, so
she's
therefore
not thinking rationally. So it's not even thinking on her own. She's been possessed a bit. So that's it. Basically, trapped her and tricked her to go chase her son. To my boy.
The ship was an asshole, and even after she falls, I suppose it would be some sort of an illusion.
Yeah.
Like, looks over, like,
yeah, looks down and look what I did.
Nelson.
What an asshole thing to do. Asshole. Asshole ship. Event Horizon.
Captain Miller, do you copy? Over.
Captain Miller, do you copy? Over.
Go ahead, Smitty.
I've just seen Weir messing around on the Clark, sir.
Stand by, Smitty. I want to check something out.
Matt, get out of there.
Come again, sir?
One of the explosives is missing from the corridor. Weir might have put it on the Clark.
No. No way. No, no, sir. No way. I've just put it back together, sir.
Get off the Clark now, Smith!
Well, just like when Weir puts the explosive on the ship, he's like, yeah, you better get out of there. There might be explosives on the ship. No, no, no. I just put this motherfucker back together. And he's looking, he finds it.
With 3 seconds left.
There's 6 seconds left, but there's a disarm button right there.
Yeah, he like closes his eyes and misses. Like,
there's a disarm button right there.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Just hit the disarm button. No, I just like, oh, I accept my fate. Boom. No!
Going to be in any fucking sequel. That's it.
That's right. He's done.
Event Horizon 2. No Sean Pertwee.
It's Sean Pertwee. Yeah,
there is no spoon.
DJ. What was that?
Clark's gone. Smitty and Cooper are dead.
What?
It was Weir. You spot him, you take him out.
Understood.
Careful, DJ.
Don't worry about Weir. I'll take care of him.
Yeah, it was Weir. If you see him, take him out. And he's like, I got him. And immediately, he's taken out Hellraiser style. And within 2 minutes, he's looking at him. And the guy, his crew member is like thrust up from the ceiling, gutted. You know, like, it's hard to explain. But what a set. Like, all this happened within like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
The Lewis and Clark going boom. This guy being Hellraiser. We are so monumentally fucked right now.
Which was a better Hellraiser in space, this or Hellraiser?
I don't remember so much
Hellraiser
in it.
There's a lot of Hellraiser.
Seriously.
Okay, Dr. Weir. You don't want to leave your ship? You never will.
Basically, the only projectile... weapon that he had on the ship was something to pierce rivets into the hull for repairs, right? It's like, okay, Dr. Weir, you're fucking with us, now I'm going to fuck with you kind of deal. Finds his XO on the bridge, has to put his weapon down for a moment to get his smelling salts out of his sleeve so he'll wake her up, and no sooner is she woken up, he goes to reach for it, and the weapon is gone. Just that look on his face, like, he doesn't mention, he doesn't say anything. No. He could have been like, what the fuck?
In space, nobody has peripheral vision.
Oh, yes, yes.
I created the Event Horizon to reach the stars. But she's gone much, much farther than that. She tore a hole in our universe, a gateway to another dimension. A dimension of pure chaos. Pure evil. When she crossed over, she was just a ship. But when she came back, she was alive. Look at her, Miller. Isn't she beautiful?
Your beautiful ship killed its crew, Doctor.
Well, now she has another crew. Now she has us.
What do you think you're doing, Doctor?
You wanted to know where the ship has been. So now you'll find out.
I am going to bring people back with this ship into the Hell Dimension. I don't care how many of you I have to kill and how much of the ship I have to blow up to do it.
I have several problems with this film, only because, like, there's a lot of shit that don't make sense, but because the caliber of the film, for me, is high enough, I can get by it. But one of the things, like, the whole thing with Weir is just, like, all over the place. It's like when they were writing this character, like, they knew that Dr. Weir was going to, like, change into some manifestation of the ship. Like, he was going to be, like, he was a representative of the ship at some point. But there's no rules for him. Because he's like, okay, he's like, he moves with stealth and he's supernatural and he can see without his eyes and shit like that. And he's willfully going to bring the fucking ship back to that hell universe. But he blows a hole out of the window and all of a sudden he's like, oh, this fucking sucks and I'm being sucked out into space. And the ship brings him back. Now, is it really him or is it just another illusion? That's, you know, like, but he's the ship brought me back. But you look a lot like a Cenobite. Oh, don't tell Clive Barker I'm back. The ship brought me back. Pay no attention to my Cenobite tendencies.
Weir? The ship brought me back. I told you she won't let me leave. She won't let anyone leave. Did you really think you could destroy this ship? She's defied space and time. She's been to a place you couldn't possibly imagine. And now, it is time to go back.
I know. To hell.
You know nothing. Hell is only a word. The reality is much, much worse.
Gah! Let me show you.
You're all coming with me. There's only four people left alive in that fucking in that ship, and two of them are in that. So when he hits the fucking plunger to blow up the corridor, Sam Neill's like, "No, this fucking sucks." It's like, well, you still got yourself and this guy that's going back. You're only missing out on two people who are still alive. Everybody else is dead. Why is it so bad? So, like, yeah, I do have problems with it. There you go. It's not fucking perfect. Physics, fuck.
Do you see?
Yes. I see.
I will admit, I didn't mind the design of the ship overall. I'm glad they used the model. Like, the ship itself was not CG, which was good.
Yeah,
and it looks like a Klingon battlecruiser.
I was going to say, you even made the joke, oh, Bird of Prey.
Yeah. No, the battlecruiser. Yeah. From Part 6, but the Orkin ship.
Yeah, but like start, when you first see their ship, It looks like a Klingon Bird of Prey.
But yeah, it looked like a Klingon ship taking a dump. Because it had that big ass bald, like, damn, she got an ass.
It's just funny how all, it doesn't matter if it's aliens or this, how all the futuristic ships all look like shit.
Yeah, and like, they look like they're like on the verge of giving you tetanus at any moment.
Yeah, yeah. Like you just walk into a wall and like, okay, you got all the hepatitis.
It's all right. It's okay. You're safe now.
Justin, Cooper.
They're fine. They're fine. They're with us.
They're with us.
Stop.
Stay calm. It's all right.
Calm down.
It's all right. Breathe deeply.
Stark.
Breathe deeply.
It's the rescue.
I need a sedative here now.
I got you, Stark. I got you.
It's okay.
Like, even the end of this film, the two people who are left, one's, like, Clark is done. The Exo is finished. And that's what the end of the movie tells me. Like, Cooper still has a little bit left, but she's done. She's in the funny farm. Like, there is no happy ending in this film at all. Zero. You know? And I think a lot of people have a problem with that.
Oh my God, that's the fucking shit!
So, my assessment that I gave before we watched this movie, was I fucking wrong?
What was your assessment before?
I said that it was, like, the scariest part of the movie was the ship.
Oh, yeah.
The cast was better than the script.
Mm-hmm.
They they definitely were just like, this was a paycheck movie for most of these people, obviously, because they did not commit. I've never seen Sam Neill chew scenery so fucking bad.
Jurassic Park would tell
if this had a cast of people that I had no idea who in the fuck they were, I probably would have liked it better.
Yeah. Like Star Wars, right? Well, like the original Star Wars. Who the fuck were those, exactly. those people? Nobody knew who those people were.
Well, Alec Guinness.
You know what?
Well, besides him.
But yeah.
If this was a low-budget chiller, it probably would have been a lot better.
Yeah, like if this was like, you know, like your day on the background, or like just like a B or even like, you know, really punching above its weight class C movie. It's an A movie cast, or like, you know, A minus, B plus, but with like a C minus script.
What do you think the budget was for this?
Oh.
This is 1997.
I'm going to guess
97?
$25 million.
No, probably less than that. More than that? $45 million. $60 million.
Yeah.
$60 million?
Right? $60 million in 1997 money.
Adjust that shit.
Well, I mean, there was a lot of CGI. There was some models and stuff like that. There was a lot of pyrotechnics.
They did a lot of sets.
There was a lot... Most of the effects were most of the gore effects were tactile, so I got to give it points for that. Most of the gore was tactile.
And you go up the ramp through the rotating blades.
$60 million in 1997 would be worth $104,817,679.
Yeah. $100 million movie.
Yep.
And it is honestly a solid chunk of that. Probably just went that cast.
And it made $42 million back in the day.
So it was a flop.
It was a flop.
Oh, yeah.
So it made... $42 million back then is 73, just under 73 and a half.
Double that 60 for promotional costs and distribution costs. Yeah. It's usually double production. So $120 million, those dollars, just to have it shown at a theater screen.
You know what? I watched this film and I wonder if it wouldn't have been great if it had been made in like 1983 or like 2020. It's like a film that was made at the wrong time. Mm-hmm. I think if it was made like earlier, it would have been a little bit better, or later.
So it would have been better. They should do a remake?
Yeah, why not?
Oh.
Why not?
But like, not directed by Paul Darius
Anderson. Make another film like this. Don't make, maybe not Event Horizon, but something similar where there's like a ship that disappears and comes back and something's wrong and something like that.
Like Sunshine.
You know.
What about you, Stark? Would you like something hot and black inside you?
Ooh.
Is that an offer?
It is not.
Then how about some coffee then?
Nude, score it for me, please.
I'm going to give it a 6.5.
Yeah?
Yes. Oh, okay. It was fun. I wouldn't think it was like the best sci-fi horror movie I've ever seen, but it was fun. Explosion, like I said, the gore, and what you call member berries, or not member berries, but nods, I should say, more like nods to other sci-fi horror movies and stuff. Fun. I mean... Paul's been saying goofy, but yeah, some of it's sort of like, huh? But I enjoyed it.
I don't think goofy is the right word, but I
had fun.
Dark.
Oh. Yes, sir.
Why aren't you on the bridge?
Do you mind if I get dressed first?
As a matter of fact, Lieutenant, I do mind if you get dressed first. Let's go, people. We have a job to do.
Paul B., you want to score this film?
Believe it or not, before Helen said it, I was thinking 6.5.
6.5?
Yeah. Like I said, despite your fucking bitching and whining and crying about it, I did actually like it. It's silly as fuck. It doesn't make a lick of sense, but it's got some good gore, especially for 1997. CGI doesn't hold up, but there's enough gore and enough really fucked up visuals to kind of touch that side of what I like about, like, certain things I like in horror. So yeah, 6.5. I haven't seen it for a very long time. I probably won't have to watch it again for another very long time. But I enjoyed it, despite all your crying and bitching. I did enjoy it.
It'll take the Lewis and Clark 1,000 years to reach our nearest star. But the Event Horizon could be there in a day.
If it worked.
You can come down, it's perfectly safe.
Okay, Brian Stewart, you want to score this?
Yeah, I had a number in mind, and I'm going to give it a 6. It's a fun 6. I would watch this again. Press play right now.
Fuck you!
But the problem is for me is that it evokes a lot of better sci-fi horror films, and constantly making that comparison makes me think I could be watching Aliens instead of this. I could be watching Predator instead of this. I could be watching The Shining. When you, you know, make little homages to other horror films, but then don't give us something as good, it makes us feel like we could have been doing that. A lot of fun stuff in this movie. I would watch it again. A lot of it doesn't make much sense. Mm-hmm. There is some interesting, creepy lighting effects here and there, like the stuff in Med Bay. The decompression scene is well executed, and it looks freaking real. When he has to close his eyes and he's bleeding from the eyes, man, oh man, that, I mean, it sold it. I felt bad for him too when he realized where he was, and he's like, wait, what's going on? I'm like, oh, that's even worse.
Yeah.
Holy hell. So I like the fact that the ship has a vindictive streak. I just wish we had kind of less in a lot of ways. I think you were right. It had to go in one direction or the other. It had to be sillier or way more serious. But it picked a middle lane that kind of muddied the waters a bit too much for me. I wish it picked a lane. Yeah, it's not five or lower. It's not a bad movie. I think it's a decent sci-fi horror movie. It's just not a great sci-fi horror movie for me.
First of all, I want to say how much I appreciate this opportunity to join you.
It's for sure that you appreciate being here, Doctor, but you must understand that we don't. We were taken off a well-deserved leave and sent into Neptune space. We are now 3 billion clicks from the nearest outpost. The last time USAC attempted a rescue this far past the outer reach, well, we lost both ships, so if you please.
Cult Sensation, what do you score this one?
Five.
Five!
Kind of what I figured.
The fucking, the sci-fi fan is five. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I do like sci-fi. And this movie takes place in space.
Yes.
Good for it.
It's a movie.
Close to Neptune.
Yeah, but, like, I'm glad that Stuart said it, because I feel the exact same way. When I watch this the first time and when I watch it again now, all it makes me want to do is watch the movies that it copied the homework of. Like, it's just, I have now watched this movie twice. I do not want to watch it a third time. I don't need to. I was really hoping that watching it, you know, like, after a significant time away from it, like, maybe I'm remembering it wrong. Maybe I missed something the first time I watched. Nope, I remembered every single fucking scene of this movie. The ship is the scariest thing about the movie. But even then, when I watched it again this time, my brain is just like, that ladder that she climbs up, like, the way the whole... That looks almost exactly like the ones in the Nostromo from Alien. And, they, you know, like, the, this thing, that, oh, that's, like, from fucking Cube. And, like, this is from this, and this is from that. And that looks like a Cenobite's butt plug. And, you know...
A Cenobite's butt plug.
The core looks like, you know, something that Pinhead might have a little fun with behind closed doors.
This air tastes bad.
Yeah, carbon dioxide, I know.
It's building up with every breath we take. And the CO2 filters on the event horizon are shot.
So we take the scrubbers from the Clark. That gives us what?
Enough breathable air for 20 hours. But after that, we better be on our way home.
I'll give it a 7.5.
Oof.
I will give it a 7.5. You know what? Press play. I'd watch this again
right
now. No. I would watch this again right now. Yes, I enjoyed it in the 90s. I've seen it a few times since then. I enjoyed it this time as well. I don't know if I'd say it's goofy, but there are I have a lot of questions after this film. But I like the cast. I love the cast. Most of them are, like, decent, you know, characters, well written until the fucking shit hits the fan. And then it's chaos. And I don't mind that, you know? And it's like, physics don't work. I don't give a shit. The ship looks stupid. I don't give a shit. It gives me gore. It gives me... Sam Neill and Lawrence Fishburne, Sean Pertwee. I love the cast. I enjoy the story. I like the whole search and rescue part of it. I like the fact that the ship came back from a different dimension and now it's like there's chaos plaguing these people. And the fact that it's 3 billion clicks from Earth, like it's like you talk about isolation, like films where we love films where you're like in one, trapped in one setting. How about being trapped on a fucking small ship 3 billion miles from anyone? This is that movie kind of deal, right? So, and this is why, like, when the Lewis and Clark goes boom, that all of a sudden that bubble, that small bubble you were in, just contracts a little bit more. It's like, oh, Jesus Christ, what are they going to do now? Well, they're all fucked, right? I will totally agree that this movie rips off a bunch of other shit that may or may not be better than it. I completely,
well.
But I don't care. I don't care. You're never bored. I love the cast. and the story is good, even though it falls off the rails.
You're arguing it's not, me like I've said like I dislike the film. I don't. I like the
I
movie.
I take exception to your goofy fucking...
It's fucking goofy!
Get out of my house.
I'm going to.
Get out.
And I'll see you in about a month.
Not my ship. You can't just leave her.
I have no intention of leaving her, Doctor. I will take the Lewis and Clark to a safe distance, and then I will launch attack missiles at the event horizon until I'm satisfied she's vaporized. Fuck this ship.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Event Horizon from 1997, starring Lawrence Fishburne, Sam Neill, and a litany of other fine actors. Maybe it hasn't aged so well. The late 90s wasn't known for being the best time for horror. But you know what? I've seen it half a dozen times, and you wouldn't have to put a gun to my head to sit down and watch it again. Is it flawed? Certainly. Do some of the CGI effects look trash? Absolutely. But there's always something going on, it's never a dull moment, and post-production was put through a ridiculously short timeline to avoid having to compete with Titanic, which came out later that same year. The studios demanded 30 minutes be scrapped from the original cut, and Sam Neill has stated he remembers shooting a much different film than what we've seen, so I say give it a watch. My crew had problems with clouds and thunder in outer space, but it's basically a haunted house movie in the stars. I like the atmosphere. I say check it out. For the world-famous Brian Stewart, the cult sensation Nick McPherson, the nefarious Paul B., and my wife, the lovely Nude, this is Cash Wompomp saying thanks for listening and reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just going to scare the hell out of you. We're going to help you find it right here at Horror 101, Educating Your Fears.
Also, can I add that the captain's chair on the Lewis and Clark is the stupidest fucking thing I've ever seen. I'm like, not even that, you know, or... Just put a normal fucking chair and he can turn his goddamn head. Like, anytime somebody talks, like, he's moving the entire goddamn chair.
Don't
like
lie, you would love that chair. You would
it was like
that.
Dr. Evil chair, right? Dr. Evil chair. This chair is possessed. No. This chair is possessed. The power of Christ compels you.
Yeah, I need a young priest and a young priest.